Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The restaurant scene here is pretty great. Some of the restaurants, or the regions, I should say, best chefs are world-renowned names. I mean, there's Barbara Lynch and Lydia Shire, just to name two of many. So when it comes to the perfect dining experience, what more could you really want? How about a non-restaurant? Across the Bay State, underground supper clubs are popping up, serving high-class food in low-maintenance spaces that are kept secret until shortly before the meal. These guerrilla chefs whip up gourmet dinners on short notice, then invited guests eat elbow-to-elbow with similarly food-obsessed strangers. The revival of this movement is growing in the region, so we sent our own Adam Ragusea to do some experiential taste testing.
6 p.m., Saturday, Somerville. It's the appointed time and place, but everything about this building I'm walking into outside Union Square screams, "Are you sure you're supposed to be in here?" It looks like there'd be a meeting of Fight Club in the basement.
Hello, JJ?
Yes.
But up the stairs and to the right, it's all tablecloths and wine glasses and the heady aromas of yeast breads and beer. And Chef J.J. Gonson.
Isn't it beautiful?
It's gorgeous. What is this normally?
It's a community builders cooperative. And downstairs, there's all these studios where people do woodworking, like they make boats and stuff.
But up here, there's a U-shaped dining space with a small open kitchen in the corner. J.J. and her handful of assistants are busily rinsing greens, unwrapping cheese, slicing and dicing the 3-hour, 10-course meal they're about to serve.
We call it Once. And it stands for a one-night culinary event. We find a space that we can use in a legal way. And this is a commercial building. And we're cooks, and we make a lot of food, and then we serve it to a whole bunch of people, and it's like a restaurant for one time.
Who gets to come?
We have private mailing lists that we send an email out to.
And how are you cool enough to get on that list?
You just ask me.
Ah, I see.
You say, JJ, will you put me on the list, please? And I say, oh, yes, I'd love to.
One by one, a motley assortment of people, young and old, but all presumably cool enough to get on that list, fill the space, each toting their BYO whatever and a check for $50. Dinner service begins with a somewhat personal question.
Is anybody pregnant? We do have raw cheeses on the menu.
Ah,
yes,
that explanation sends one hand shooting up in the back.
Congratulations!
Tonight's meal is all about local artisanal cheeses, and the 40 or so food fans who've come are giddy with anticipation, notwithstanding the potential for listeria and E. coli contamination.
We're starting you tonight with a Hillman Farm Chèvre Blintz with rhubarb compote.
And with that, we're off. Course after course is served family style. Next up is a salad of local arugula, bib lettuce, and radishes with a little wedge of this brie-like cheese called Weybridge. But if we thought we could all just sit back and enjoy our meals, oh no.
All right, so let's talk just a bit about this cheese. This is a simple cheese.
There is a lecture component.
First of all, the cheesemaker is Judy Skolton. She works in Weybridge, Vermont, and so the cheese is called Weybridge.
Vince Razzanalli runs Fromaggio Kitchen in Cambridge. He brought all the cheese tonight. The diners are actually quite attentive and delighted as he drops his obscure cheese knowledge on the room.
I don't know any other New England cheesemakers who are using Dutch Belvedere cows.
This is how much of a cheese philistine I am. When I'm eating brie, do I eat the rind?
Oh, go for it. Eat the whole thing. Take one big bite with everything in it.
It's like funky pudding-like butter.
It's like being on the farm.
No. Right?
The euphemism for that is saying it's farmy or coarse. But if you want to be honest, I mean, it's kind of poopy.
Never had a waiter at a restaurant sell me on a dish using that adjective. But that degree of honesty and informality is what my fellow diners all seem to love about this whole thing.
Is it more like a restaurant or a dinner party?
Like a dinner party.
Dinner party, yeah.
You don't go in and choose what you're going to have.
But unlike a dinner party, you don't choose who you're going to get to sit next to either. Most of these folks are strangers, but everybody's laughing and talking and making new friends. The other bonus you get is there are experts like Vince the cheese guy roaming around who can answer your burning food questions, like, why don't we milk pigs?
I've actually Googled this.
Have you?
And they just tell you how tiny the little teats are. But the whole ruminant...
That's certainly the number one reason. And also, they're not ruminants.
Back in the kitchen, JJ the chef is plating her eighth course of the night.
The thing about a restaurant, people have gone to it and they've reviewed it and there's dishes that they expect. And with
so
us,
people are more chill here.
They're really chill.
And it's a good thing everybody's so relaxed and open to new experiences, because here comes dessert.
Vegetarians, I'm sorry. This is bacon is meat candy tart.
That's right. Chocolate-cured bacon from locally raised, humanely slaughtered pigs, smoked over cocoa nibs, and served on an oatmeal tart crust with blue cheese, caramelized onions, and actual caramel.
I need to get the real-time reaction from you two.
Now, the question is, are her eyes going to roll back in her head?
This is awesome.
Well, is it weird? You got meat in your dessert?
No, it's not weird at all. It's not all that sweet, so it's a very grown-up sort of dessert.
Can you pick up the cocoa, like, odor?
A little bit.
Her mouth says a little bit, but her eyes say, not really. It doesn't matter. Everybody's so blissed out and full by this point, they don't care. That's when Chef JJ swoops in for the big finish.
I hope everybody did get enough to eat tonight. Yes? When you participate in a one-night culinary event, you are absolutely supporting local food systems one-to-one. We are taking your money, we are giving it to the farmers, we are bringing the food to the table. This is the farm-to-table movement in its purest form. Can we give a moment?
And with that bit of proselytizing, this one-night-only restaurant is dissolved forever.
It's Radio Boston's Adam Ten Course Ragusea. Listeners, have you ever been to a one-night culinary event dinner? Or maybe another type of underground supper club? Is there something about eating this way that's just more visceral and more satisfying than eating at a regular restaurant? You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or send us a message at our website, wbur.org/Boston. Well, joining me now are two chefs behind two very different underground supper clubs. JJ Gonson, you heard her in Adam Ragusea's piece. She is the founder of Cuisine en Local and a personal chef. She's also the creator of Once, the one-night culinary events. And that is, of course, the dinner that Adam described in his piece. Welcome to Radio Boston, JJ.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Also with us is Lucia... I was going to get it wrong. Lucia Giazzieri.
That's correct.
That's it.
Nice
okay.
to be here.
I practice and I still screw these up eventually. I apologize. But Lucia Giazzieri, she is co-organizer of Feast Mass, another underground supper club that resembles more of a buffet-style church supper than a 10-course restaurant meal. So two very different things there. But Lucia, welcome to you, to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Okay, so JJ, let me start with you. You are a caterer and a full-time, a private chef, full-time.
I'm actually not a caterer. I'm a personal chef.
Personal chef. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we will split hairs over the difference on those two a little later.
Okay.
But let me ask you about the once dinners, the once a month. Why do that in addition to your personal chef business?
Because after a few years of cooking privately for people, I wanted to feed more people, especially my friends. And we do once dinners at a much, much, much lower cost because we have a lot more flexibility to choose what we're going to do based on the market and what is available to us.
Mm-hmm.
So if people aren't demanding the food, I then can work with the menu to keep the cost down. And it's an opportunity to feed people, which I love to do. I'm a sucker for feeding people. I really enjoy it.
And also, if I understand, it helps keep you connected with your vendors, the farmers that are giving you the local food.
I'll tell you, I'm connected with my vendors all the time. That's what I do for a living. I'm a personal chef, and I feature local food in everything I do. So I'm connected to my vendors all the time. And what I'm doing is I'm making dishes for people for private parties, and I make a dish over and over again. And I think, wow, I really wish that I could feed this to a lot of people because it's really yummy. So then I have these public parties, or sort of, they're not public parties, they're private parties, but parties that anybody who I tell about it can come to,
And they can try this dish without having to hire my company to come to their house and set up and make a big mess. And then their house smells like garlic and, you know, all the stuff that goes along with having a big party in your home.
Okay. So it gives them an introduction to the kind of food, what you do with food as well. Well,
it does,
Lucia, let me ask you. You've been to some of J.J. Gonson's once dinners.
I have.
But then you went on to start Feast Mass. So tell us, what is that and how does it differ, say, from the once events?
So my friends and I always enjoyed throwing dinner parties, and we were looking for a way to kind of bring a little more meaning to those dinner parties. We heard about something that's happening in Chicago called Incubate. They're one of the first people to do what's called sort of a micro-granting dinner. And what that is you come in, you pay a set price. During the dinner, and we went to one of these, something in New York, and we went and you go in and you pay a pretty low amount of money. And during the evening, as you're eating, you hear proposals from people in the community who have a really great idea but that lack the funding to make it happen. And what happens is everybody at the party votes at the end of the night, and a grant is given to the winning proposal. Mm-hmm. So when we went to New York, we heard proposals from people who want to do community gardens on rooftops and, you know, I want to put on a play, I want to do this. And everyone voted and somebody got the money.
So it's both a food experience and, like you said, a micro grant experience as well. Who does the cooking for the Feast Mass dinners?
Myself and a couple of my friends.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how many of these have you done so far?
We're doing our second one on July 24th, so we're really new.
Okay. Well, both for you, Lucia, and JJ, for people who maybe aren't already part of your underground food culture, how is it that they find out about where the event's going to be and when to show up and what's their way in?
Well, one of the fun things about this, because it doesn't really have a prescribed set of rules, is that I think everybody does it differently. So the way that people find out about my dinners is not the same way that they find out about Lucia's, although it's very possible that one of us might tell people about the other ones.
That's true.
That definitely happens.
Yeah.
So in my case, when I first started doing this a few years ago, the first once was literally, I have all these dishes I want to feed my friends, and I sent an email out to a bunch of friends saying, if everybody can throw in $50 or what, I can't even remember how much it was, then I can do this big dinner party for everyone. And it was huge and really fun. And so we did it again. And my friend Miri figured out that once could mean one night culinary event because she's awesome. And, you know, it just sort of grew naturally. So that email, that it's not an evite, it's just a personal email that I send, is still an email that I send. I type an email up and I send it to this list of people that want to know when I'm going to be cooking.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, I didn't. Go ahead, Lucia.
Oh, no. The way we did it was we had a set capacity for our venue. We printed up about 50 to 60 tickets, and among the five of us who were organizing it, we just passed out 10 tickets to each of the five people, and we made it very clear that of your 10 tickets, only like three of them could go to people that were your close friends. So we tried to cast the net pretty wide and sell to strangers and stuff. So.
And now both of you in your food events are feeding enough people to have it seemingly qualify as a restaurant. I mean, it's not just five people. It's not a dinner party. But you're shaking your head, JJ, but I'm leading to this question of here that Adam kind of hinted at in his piece, and that is what you're doing entirely legal when you're feeding 50 or 60 people and you're not actually a restaurant that's overseen by the Board of Health, for example?
It's not a restaurant. So it was funny. I think he said that. I can't remember now what the context was when he said it. But we're not restaurants. Mm-hmm. We're people having private dinner parties and asking for a contribution towards the cost of having that dinner party. It's kind of like going to a potluck and bringing money instead of food.
Okay. So do you feel the same way that...
Yeah, I mean... Both in tone and in the monetary aspects, I compare our dinner to like a church supper, like a fundraiser. If you go to this supper, you're getting food as an added bonus, sort of, and it's awesome food, but the idea is that you're pooling your money towards something good. In my case, it's a grant, and in JJ's case, it's supporting a bunch of really awesome local producers of food. Mm-hmm. So...
Well, we've got a comment on our website, wbur.org/Boston. It's from Steve, and he writes, "The reason we are drawn to these kinds of dinners is because this is how humans are meant to eat. Fresh, local food surrounded by neighbors and friends. This is a return to truly primitive forms of table fellowship."
Huzzah!
Well,
yes.
JJ, let me ask
how
you about
lovely.
That.
How lovely, yes.
Because that seems to be the second half of really what motivates people to come to these events. It's not, I mean, the food is definitely the part
no,
of it.
I think
but it's the experience of eating.
And it's why I do them. And it's why at the end you should see us. I mean, it's radio. You can't see the glee at the end of the night when I say, thank you, this is supporting the farm-to-table movement as closely as we can and live in an urban environment and work our urban jobs. And it really is, it's joy. It's pure joy.
Why do you think you can't have that experience in a restaurant today?
Well, first of all, we eat together. We don't eat, you don't sit down at different times and order off a menu separately. So the food's coming out all together. It's not... It's sort of more family. Well, in our case, we do. Right now, we lean towards family style. It literally is a one-night culinary event. And because it's in a different place every single time and the menu's different every single time, honestly, it could be served in any number of ways because it depends on the space.
I've been to two of her events. The first one was very formal sit-down. It was once in the new year. And we were served. We were seated and we were served.
It was so formal.
And then the second one I went to was once beer, which was everything was like either.
It was a kegger.
It was not a kegger. It was like everything was either inspired by, included, or paired with beer. And so that one was like everyone was standing up and mingling. There were no real.
Every course was cooked with beer. We're not licensed to carry alcohol, either of us, and we don't. We really do make an effort, coming back to what you were saying, and I don't want to be flip about it. We do make an effort to work within certain rules and without going too far. For example, Lucia has access to a certified commissary kitchen. Her food is prepped in a kitchen that is actually a licensed certified kitchen. There are rules around being a personal chef. There are things that I can do. There's things I can't do. I know what they are. And I am ServSafe certified and I carry a $2 million liability policy and blah, 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 blah. So as a personal chef who's throwing this party, I am trying to be respectful of what I am doing and behaving in a way that I hope that is okay.
You know, I think
a one-off party.
One of the reasons why your once and both feast mass caught our attention is because of the fact that there is the experience, the E part of once, this experience of eating, which people really are looking for more and more. And JJ, I understand that you've taken once out to the Cape and the islands, and maybe even to the West Coast,
Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything different about having once events over there in these other places versus here? Or do you feel like this is kind of a universal new push for people to want to eat and feel the act of eating with friends?
Wherever you go, it's pure joy.
And for you, Lucia, are you going to throw the feast mass dinners more often, you think?
Yeah, definitely. As many as we can.
Yay!
And how do you know how many of these underground supper clubs there do exist in the Boston area now?
I haven't the foggiest idea, have you?
Maybe like... I don't know, five. I don't know.
No idea. That's what
even
makes it
you,
fun.
I mean, you hear about people them, running them don't know.
Yeah. Well, we don't have time to go to anybody else.
All right. Well, when's the next once dinner, JJ?
Saturday night, once vegetarian.
This weekend. All right. Well, you heard it here on Radio Boston. That's JJ Gonson. She's creator of Once, the one-night culinary event, and she... slash experience, and she's also founder of Cuisine en Locale and a personal chef. JJ Gonson, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
And Lucia Giazieri, she's co-organizer of Feast Mass, an underground supper club as well. Lucia, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Well, to learn more about our food discoveries each and every day, you can visit WBUR's food blog. It's Public Radio Kitchen, and the website is publicradiokitchen.org. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. Our program is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Alpert, and Dan Mazzi, and Ted Seifer. Tim Skog is our technical director. Special help today from Jimmy Kiesling. The senior producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. Iris Adler is our executive producer. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow at 3 for more Radio Boston.